If everyone could find their seats, that'd be great. The next item on the agenda is the report from the executive director. And I will turn the microphone over to Carlos. Coming your way.
Bear with me, can you guys hear me there? Is that okay?
Can you use it, Carlos?
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good.
Carlos, would you?
How about there, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, found me technique, put it in my pocket. Okay, thanks everyone. As I listened to the earlier presentation, I remember a quote from Franklin D. Roosevelt, which says, "We don't always build a future for our youth, but we can build our youth for a future." I think I just like that a lot. Okay, I'm going to start the report with the statistics from client services for the last quarter, starting October 1st up to the end of December. Okay, so this is the statistics for the all the blind services. There were 181 clients at the beginning of the fiscal year, and then 58 clients were added, those who applied and were accepted, making for a total of 239 clients altogether. Of these, 94 clients were closed successful, with 6 clients referred for VR services, and 10 clients were closed unsuccessful, from which 5 were deceased and 5 were closed for other reasons. So 130 clients still remain an active client. I mean, remain as active. This is independent living under 55. Need to remember that we don't get the federal fund anymore, so we only get the state fiscal fund. And when we used to get the federal funds, we could also use realignment and social security towards that services, but we don't. Last year, we were able to get some funds from the state to cover that deficit. So we still provide services to under 55, but again, we are limited only to the state funds. With that, there were 4 active clients at the beginning of the year. And then 4 other were added. Now we have 8 clients active. For vocational rehabilitation services, 389 clients were in active status at the beginning of the year. 30 clients were added since then, making for a total of 491 clients. Of these, 4 clients were closed successful and 28 were closed unsuccessful. Those who were unsuccessful for the following reasons: 10 were not interested on services any longer. 1 does not require VR services. And 1 for health reasons. And 7 were unable to be located. 2 passed away, and 2 were transferred to other agencies, and 3 for any other reasons. And the 2 clients were closed unsuccessful before the IP was developed. 1 didn't want services, and the other 1 was unable to be located. So So now we have 385 clients who are in active studies of your services. In November, we had a WIOA Partners Council here in Nebraska to talk about the progress on the implementation of WIOA requirements. I was elected vice chair. However, the vice chair resigned the following week, and now I'm the chair for this year.
Congratulations on the promotion.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
At the NCSAB conference, I was elected to be a member of the executive committee, as well as the chair for the transition program. I'm sorry, transition committee. I was also asked to be helping on efforts to increase OIB funds at the national level, and also helping on an initiative to put together some training for state agencies that have center trainings to increase their performance. And I plan to maybe ask either Carol or the new supervisor of the center to help me with that. Back in December, the WIOA core partners in Nebraska met to talk about the common intake system. You may recall that that's a system that should help different stakeholders in Nebraska to share data so things can be easier for applicants. All the proposals for this common intake were denied because they were too expensive, the average of $500,000 to $700,000. So now we developed a new requirement that will be just a basic intake questions. I think there are 19 questions that we can share, and we are working in that process now. I had a conversation with the president of the Omaha Association for the Blind, who's here, Mark, to explore ideas on how to help better the older blind services, how to maybe raise money and put together some partnerships with the private sector. So we just exchange ideas. On January 12th, Bill Brown, Carol Jenkins, Matt Hackett, and Nancy Burdine attended a demonstration for accessibility on the new Fusion system. For those who don't know, the new Fusion system is a state system that will be a standard for all state agencies, for all HR and also finances. The good news is that they brought a chance user, a blind person, to do the demonstration on the HR portion of the system. Several members were present, the Director of Administrative Services, Byron Diamond, the Director of the Program for Fusion, Michael Rasmussen, and several heads from the CIOA. So this shows that they are very serious about our concerns and demands. But when we ask, or our staff members ask about the financial portion of this system, the church user said that he was never involved on testing or working on that area. Our staff expressed concern that this is the area where we have the problem. So they recognize that whatever they are doing might comply with the accessibility guidelines, but that doesn't make it usable. We are waiting for them to send a sandbag so we can work on that testing. They are showing interest, so we are hopeful, okay? On January 13th, Carol Jenkins and I were invited to talk to the NFB of Nebraska Board of Directors, as they wanted to have more clarification about our budget situation. We are getting some calls from consumers asking how they can help with the budget and contacting state senators. We are sharing information. Hopefully people are contacting the state senators. During the week of January 23rd and 29th, I met with three senators from the Appropriations Committee to ask them that the Commission for the Blind will be exempt from the governor's recommendation to cut our budget for this year 2% and for next year the 4%. The budget hearing is this coming Wednesday, February 7th. And we are the last one in the list, I think the 7th, if I'm not mistaken. The hearing starts at 1:30. So schedule your time as you plan to come. During the week of January 15th, we sent our first progress report to RSA on our plan of action for pre-employment transition services. Carol Jenkins is working on orchestrating and making sure that we do get all the documentation to RSA, and we have scheduled a conference call with them, I think, the end of February. We also have a verbal agreement with the Jornagar Institute, with the National Federation of the Blind, to start a mentoring program in Nebraska, which should start in April. This is going to help us significantly because they will be coordinating the mentoring program, and that will include Winter Fest and other activities, and we will be able to count transportation and room and board that we couldn't count towards pre-employment transition services. We also signed an MOU with the CBVI, as I mentioned earlier. In the area of human resources, Stephanie Olson was hired to fill the position that Connie Carlo left in Norfolk. She's a rehab tech person. She began working in November 27th and was able to work alongside with Connie Carlo for 3 months before Connie retired.
3 weeks.
Sophie Rodriguez retired November 26th. Connie Carlo retired on December 15th. Cheryl Pope retired in December 22nd. Bob Litton retired last Wednesday. And Bill Brown announced that he's retiring in August 7th. I also reported before that we requested to state personnel to hire in advance, and we did receive permission for bills and substitutes. We did the interviews. We got like 50 applications and interviewed three candidates a couple of weeks ago. So the name of the new Bill Brown, or the person who will work, is Kathy Carroll, and she's going to start on Monday. She's going to be on training at the center for 7 weeks, and then we'll have a chance to work for several months with Bill until he retires. The position for center supervisor was advertised for 2 weeks. The closing date was January 31st. We got over 15 applications, I believe, and we're interviewing four people, all of them from out of state, blind people, very competent people, and we hope to conduct the interviews between the next 2 weeks. So we should be knowing who will be the next center supervisor within 3 weeks ago. We took some measures to balance our budget. I'm proud to say that we engaged all NCBBI staff to give ideas. And because of the ideas and all the work they are doing, we are able to have some good results. So some of the ideas are in the travel area. We are not sending staff members to the NCSAB, which is a conference for state administrators. Only the director will attend, which is my case. We used to send 4 to 6, now we're only sending 1. attend the National Consumer Convention, we are not paying for staff members to attend, including the director. Now, there are two major consumer organizations, national conventions. I will pay my own to the NFP convention, but I will use state funds to attend the ACB convention, unless you guys decide otherwise. For staff members, we are only going to pay if they are working with the mentoring program, because again, the Chernobyl Institute will be paying for all of that as part of the mentoring program. And staff members will be giving work time only. We are not having a state staff meeting. Again, that was a recommendation of staff members. We are not sending staff members to conferences out of state, like the PLAS conference and Sage Brunch. We are not sending clients to those conferences either, or blind vendors. We are not filling the position for Josie Rodriguez, who left from Scott's PLAS. The position for Bob, from Bob Deaton, is not going to be a deputy director position. We are evaluating that position to maybe being a level of a coordinator and maybe do some of the same duties, but that will still be open for a few months. Chair Bob, we are not having for that position either. We save some money from the time in which I was still interim director and covering the position of deputy director, as well as saving money because of Carol keeps covering the center as well as her duties as deputy director. The staff members also mentioned that they rather don't get a staff appreciation gift, which was an average of $2,000 per year. They rather have used that money to be used for clients. So again, that shows how dedicated our staff members are. We are not having the annual retreat for blind vendors. We are being conservative on providing clients supply items. We were providing a lot because we have extra money. So we are being conservative, and we are also buying good items but less expensive. We are not updating furnitures, computers as often as we used to. We disconnected several landlines as staff members now have cell phones, and they decided to do that. Many of them are, well, first of all, we didn't ask them. We told them if they would like to do that, and they volunteered to do that. We are not contracting with out-state trainers like motivational interviewing and meeting today. We are reducing significantly purchases for adaptive equipment for senior blind. Again, our budget is only $350,000, which includes staff time, and we were spending only $600,000 in that program. We are cutting memberships for some organizations like the National Rehabilitation Association, the Chamber of Commerce, considering very strongly also CSAVR. I thought it was $4,000 for the year, but it's only $900+, so we might still do it, but still considering. We are not incorporating the fiscal part of AWARE until Fusion is in place. We were going to do that this year, but if we incorporate this year, that means that we had to spend another $100,000 or so when Fusion was also in place. So we decided to wait until Fusion is in place. We also cut down some contracting with temporary teachers or SOS staff. So that's all the cuts. Bob Deaton, before he retired, finished writing the history of the agency. I think you guys have the version too.
Got a copy,
yeah. Yep. He also worked on making all the modifications necessary for the updates on the combined state plan in different states on WIOA, which was required. we are contracting with Gemini Resources, which I mentioned to you, to conduct an assessment for all our services, but more focus on pre-eds, which is mandated by the federal government as well. The 2017 annual report was completed and sent to the governor's office and also the unicameral. Kathy and Bob were working on the amendments of the NCBPI rules. As Bob retired now Kathy and I will be working closely on that amendments. We got some pre-approvals from RSA for purchases of AMPE equipment or vending machines, especially for correction, which I will report later under the AMPE report. We are working on the financial piece of AWARE, which again I mentioned we are going to wait until future is implemented. Bill Brown worked very hard on completing all the end of years reports to RSA. He continued to work with the auditor's office on a single audit on vocational rehabilitation, which is very time consuming. In the field services, counselors continue to meet with ESUs, the public schools, to create and continue building partnerships. Counselors also continue to work on different partners with Project Search, which will help clients with multiple disabilities. Our supervisor continue to attend local WIOA, local board meetings, and being involved on educating partners on the services we provide. Different staff members are also holding training sessions to clients on employment areas, so they can be ready when the time comes to look for a job. Bob Deaton already retired. Erin Brandyberry is becoming our point person who will be a specialist on the severe disability group or DD, like some people mentioned. Several staff members have begun attending meetings with vocational rehab and the DD services so we can better serve this population as we are getting more and more referrals after the 501. Requirements from WIOA. Our agency was invited to do a presentation on the 2018 Summit on the Education Transition Conference, the one that Shane mentioned earlier. Several of the staff members are participating on networking in leadership entities, annual agility conference, Eastern Seals, etc. Counselors are working on different areas, working with the students on transition services so they can understand better the services available to them, so they can be ready either for work or to attend college. Dean Jefferson continues to hold quarterly meetings with parents. Our new technology manager, Nancy Bertine, completed her training center and she's now acclimating to her position. She's being very, very helpful. She contacted the office of the CIO and we will be getting some software so she can do some of the work that the CIO was doing and building us, so we don't have to do that anymore. In other words, it's going to be faster and cheaper.
Carlos?
Yeah.
See here. Just backing up just a little bit. there, you talked about
how the agency and NCEC BVI and some other groups were working together to come up with a, or was it common, but a standard intake system, and all the proposals were denied, and now they're going back and working on a more basic approach. This is so that we would all know about the different individuals that are out there that are needing services, and the memorandum of understanding that you discussed would be what services different groups would be providing at what stages of the disease.
Okay, just to clear.
But what was denied and what was the holdup here?
Yeah, just to clarify, the combined intake or common intake is among the stakeholders for WIOA,
right.
Not for the School for the Blind, okay? So they are not part of that. So these are only entities or stakeholders that do provide or eventually provide job placement, like Department of Labor,
okay.
Those folks. So
okay, thank you.
The RFP had a lot of requirements. I guess nobody realized that was going to be very expensive. So the folks or the companies that provided their bids, mm-hmm. of course, said, yeah, we can do this, but it's going to cost this much. So that's why it wasn't that. We got a federal grant from the Department of Labor that might cover only that in the beginning, but then who's going to pay for the ongoing support? And that's the part that we don't have the money for.
Okay. Yeah. And then, I'm sorry, the other one I had a question about was, the last time we talked about the updated rules and regulations, there was a lot of work that was being involved, a lot of detailed work that was having to be done in getting everything formatted exactly right, that indicates, you know, what specifically is being changed. It was a lot of technical writing, and you were looking at bringing in a temporary employee to do some of that, to get it knocked out. And I guess
for amending the rules?
Right, for amending the rules. Yeah. And I'm assuming that that's all done now?
Well, yeah, that's what we thought too, but as we went over that, we discovered that the person had a lot of mistakes. So Bob and Kathy had a conference call with those folks at the state, and they are assigning a new person to work with us. I think she's coming this coming week, right, Kathy?
Monday.
And okay. So most of the work is done, but there are some mistakes that we need to go back and fix.
Okay. I know that there was a comment that there was, I mean, there's a hearing already scheduled or
February 7th.
Yeah, for that.
No,
oh, that's for the budget, but I think it was in April or something.
The hearing?
We have no hearing scheduled.
There's no hearing scheduled.
No hearing scheduled. The one in,
It won't be scheduled until it's done.
Until it's done.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
Okay.
But what is scheduled for hearing, which I haven't read yet, but maybe you saw somewhere, is not hearing, it's the public comments for the combined plan.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you. Sorry to interrupt.